When you hear a show tune from the great white way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
When you see me dance, you will recognize me at a glance. Well, you should be in the know. I'm not the star of the show, but I've got a way to put you wise. You can spot me if you memorize this daily tale of woe. First girl in the second row, in the third scene of the fourth number, in fifth position at 10 o'clock on the nose. I'm the first blonde in Scheherazade, the first swan in the Swan Lake, and I play the thorn and the specter of the rose. In Igrushka, I'm a fairy, in Petrushka, I'm a bear, and in Sylphide, I am something that will really curl your hair. But the season's over for this patootie, and though I'm not a beauty, I think that I'll go back to Billy Rose, 'cause I'm sick of standing on my toes. I'll never be as sleek as Voronova, or equal the technique of Tumanova. And as for Alexandra Danilova, I know I'll never make a Shlemilova. For people who have already seen her, I'll never be another Zarina. I can't replace Pavlova, I will leave that to Markova, Delarova, and Rostova, and Popova. But at least in this old dancing game, I have a single claim to fame. I'm the first girl in the second row, in the third scene of the fourth number, in fifth position you'll wonder why you came. I'm the first lamb in Helen of Troy, the first madame in Bluebeard, then I play the faun in the afternoon of same. In the obsolete nutcracker suite, I play a flake of snow. And in rodeo, they pay me dough to be a buffalo. But the going's rough and I've had enough, so I think I'll give the slough to this party stuff and call the pass the pass. 'Cause the first girl's leaving the cast at last.
That was Nancy Walker from Look Ma, I'm Dancin', as the first girl in the second row, the eternal lament of the kid in the chorus who cannot be discovered. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the summertime hamlet of Southampton, New York. Our show is also generously supported by the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund. Thanks again, folks. Well, today I thought we would look at exactly that, the first girl in the second row, Broadway superstars who got their start pretty much in the chorus. Now, I can't pull everybody out of the wings, as it were, because frankly, if you were in the chorus, they probably didn't record you. And if you were in a flop, they probably didn't record you either. But we'll do our best to give you a glimpse of major Broadway supernovas when they were supernumeraries. How about that? I made that up just as I was talking. Could have done a little better. All right. We were reminded that, say, Ethel Merman got her start in a small part in Girl Crazy. That was a star-making performance. I think we're looking at something a little gentler. So let us look at Elaine Stritch. Now, Elaine Stritch had done a couple of shows. She did a review where she had made a big hit with a song called Civilization. But her first kind of moment where critics raised their eyebrows and noticed she was something special was the 1952 revival of Pal Joey, where she had one song and one scene. Let's hear it. Zip! Here's Elaine Stritch as the first girl in the second row.
interviewed Pablo Picasso and a countess named DeFrosso. I've interviewed the great Stravinsky. But my greatest achievement was the interview I had with the star who worked for Minsky. I met her at the Yankee Clipper, and she didn't unzip one zipper. I said, "Miss Lee, you are such an artist. Tell me why you never miss. What do you think of while you work?" And she said, "While I work, my thoughts go something like this. Zip, Walter Lippmann wasn't brilliant today. Zip, will Saroyan ever write a great play? Zip, I was reading Schopenhauer last night. Zip, and I think that Schopenhauer was right. I don't want to see Zarina. I don't want to meet Kabina. Zip, I'm an intellectual. I don't like a deep contralto or a man whose voice is alto. Zip, I'm a heterosexual. Zip, it took intellect to master my art. Zip, who the hell is Margie Hart? Zip, I consider Dolly's paintings passé. Zip, will they make the Metropolitan pay? English people don't say clerk, they say clerk. Zip, anybody who says clerk is a jerk. I adore the great Confucius and the lines of Luscious Lucius. Zip, I am so eclectic. I don't care for either Mickey Mouse or Rooney makes me sicky. Zip, I'm a little hectic. Zip, my artistic taste is classic and dear. Zip, who the hell's Lily St. Cyr?
A cymbal, a timbal, a lyre. Play with appropriate passion, fashion songs of delight and delicious desire for the night of my nights. Come where the snow well-beloved is waiting, where the rose and the jasmine mingle, while I tell her mating, and 'tis sin to be single. Let peacocks and monkeys in purple adornings show her the way to my bridal chamber,
then get you gone till the morn of my mornings, after the night of my nights, after the night of my nights, kiss the night of my nights.
They are the symbol, the gimbal, the lyre, play with appropriate passion, passion, songs of delight and delicious desire.
For the night of my nights,
so well beloved is waiting, where the rose and the jasmine mingle, while I tell her the moon is walking in,
and tis sin to be single.
Let peacocks and monkeys in purple adorning show her the way to my private chamber, then get you gone till the morning.
Those were the Golden Chops of Richard Kiley from Kismet. Now, Kiley had only done one other show on Broadway. He had been in a small part in a Shaw play, and here he was as the Caliph in Kismet. I would say, hopefully, learning everything he possibly could from Alfred Drake as the lead, because Kiley became, what would I say, the Alfred Drake of the next generation of great leading men in the Broadway musical. So he's the first boy in the second row, and today we're looking at people's first starts and small parts and big old shows. Well, Camelot had nothing but stars. It had Richard Burton and Julie Andrews, who were absolutely stellar at the time. But there is a number in which Guinevere sort of insinuates herself among the knights and male courtiers of the court of Camelot. And it's a great number, but the third of our knights is John Cullum, one of my favorite performers. And you can hear him as Sir Sagramore. Certainly, he was a very specific kind of voice. He was Burton's understudy, went on to work with Burton several times. Anyway, here is John Cullum joining the cast of Camelot.
Sir Lionel, do you recall the other night that I distinctly said you might serve as my escort at the next town fair? Well, I'm afraid there's someone who I must invite in place of you, someone who plainly is beyond compare. That Frenchman's power is more tremendous than I have ever seen anywhere. And when a man is that stupendous, he by right should take me to the fair.
Your Majesty, let me tilt with him and smite him. Don't refuse me so abruptly, I implore. Oh, give me the opportunity to fight him, and Gaul will be divided once more.
You will bash and thrash him?
I'll smash and mash him.
You'll give him trouble?
He will be rubble.
A mighty whack.
His skull will crack.
Well, then you may take me to the fair if you do all the things you promise. In fact, my heart would break should you not take me to the fair. Sir Sagramore, I have some rather painful news relative to the subject who's to be beside me at the next court ball. You were the chosen one, I know, but as tradition it should go to the unquestioned champion in the hall. And I'm convinced that splendid Frenchman can easily conquer one and all. And besting all our local henchmen, he should sit beside me at the ball.
I beg of you, ma'am, withhold your invitation. I swear to you this challenge will be met. And when I've finished up the operation, I'll serve him to your highness au brochette.
You'll pierce right through him.
I'll barbecue him.
A wicked thrust.
'Twill be dust to dust.
From fore to aft.
He'll feel a draught.
Well, then, you may sit by me at the ball if you demolish him in battle. In fact, I know I'd cry were you not by me at the ball. Sir Dinadan, didn't I promise that you may guide me to London on the day that I go up to judge the cattle show? As it is quite a nasty ride, there must be someone at my side who'll be defending me from beast and foe. So when I choose whom I prefer go, I take the strongest knight I know. And young Dulac seems strongest, ergo he should take me to the cattle show.
Your Majesty can't believe this blustering prattle. Let him prove it with a sword or lance instead. I promise you, when I've done this gory battle, his shoulders will be lonesome for his head.
You'll disconnect him.
I'll vivisect him.
You'll open wide him.
I'll subdivide him.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. Then you may guide me to the show if you can carry out your program. In fact, I'd grieve inside should you not guide me to the show.
Milady, we shall put an end to that Gallic bag of noise and nerve. When we do all that we intend to, there'll be a plate of French hors d'oeuvre.
I do applaud your noble goals. Now let us see if you achieve them. And if you do, then you will be the three who will go to the ball, to the show, and take me to the ball.
I said Sir Sagramore was actually Sir Dinadan that John Cullen played. I'll subdivide him. Very typical. Well, a lot of people who were discovered on Broadway in the 50s and 60s made their way to television fame via the Broadway musical. So we're going to look at three of them in a row who all starred in major sitcoms that I certainly grew up with. Jean Stapleton was in a number of musicals. She was in Damn Yankees. She was in Funny Girl. And here she is in a great Mark Blitzney musical called Juno. She's the first person you'll hear in this quartet. And then we'll go to another CBS star out of the Norman Lear ranks. You can probably guess who that will be. But first, here is You Poor Thing from Juno, led off by Jean Stapleton, who, of course, went to great fame as Edith Bunker on All in the Family.
I may seem quite free of care. You ladies know I've had me share. Widowed so early, long without a man. Desperate, lonely, I'm a decent woman, but only human. When once you've had it, you can miss it. Yes, indeed, you can.
You poor thing, you poor thing, you poor, poor thing.
If you've named your only care, I wish you knew what I've to bear. Strange disease, it's me they find it in.
You poor thing, you poor thing, you poor, poor thing.
Everyone has troubles, dear, but mine is one you'll hate to hear.
You poor thing, you poor.
I have such news for you. Remember Perchik, that crazy student? Remember at the wedding when Seidel married Mottl and Perchik started dancing with Tevye's daughter Huddle? Well, I just learned that Perchik's been arrested in Kiev.
No.
Yes.
Shade! Shade! Wait till I tell you! Remember Perchik, that crazy student? Remember at the wedding? He danced with Tevye's Huddle. Well, I just heard that Huddle's been arrested in Kiev.
No! Terrible, terrible!
Mirila! Do you remember Perchik, that student from Kiev? Remember how he acted when Seidel married Mottl? Well, I just heard that Mottl's been arrested for dancing at the wedding.
No!
In Kiev!
Rabbi! Rabbi!
Remember Perchik with all his strange ideas? Remember Seidel's wedding? When Tevye danced with Golda? Well, I just heard that Tevye's been arrested and Golda's gone to Kiev.
No!
God forbid!
She did!
No.
Listen, everybody! Terrible news! Terrible! Remember Perchik,
yes,
who started all the trouble?
So?
Well, I've been told by someone who should know.
What?
That Golda's been arrested,
oh,
and Huddle's gone to Kiev.
Oh.
Mottl studies dancing.
Oh.
Tevye's acting strange.
Oh.
Sprinza has the measles.
Oh.
Bjelke has the mumps.
Oh.
And that's what comes from men and women dancing.
Who could put that better than Beatrice Arthur? The original Yenta from Fiddler on the Roof, but that track was not on the original LP, so we sort of snuck that in. She had done a bunch of shows before and many shows after. MAME was her next show, which she won a Tony. Hal Linden wasn't really a kid in the chorus, but for years, I mean, almost a decade and a half, he was the perennial runner-up. He was an understudy. He was a replacement. He was an understudy in Bells Are Ringing. He was a standby for On a Clear Day. He was a replacement for, I think, Wildcat. He just did everything. And his first break came as the lead in a show, which is The Rothschilds. And he was billed sort of underneath the credits as sort of also starring or something, some strange, bizarre credit, but he did win the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical and, of course, went on to become Barney Miller on television. Here he is singing a Bravura number from The Rothschilds, He Tossed a Coin by Bach and Harnack, and if you don't find this guy the most charming performer you've ever heard in a musical, then I don't know what to do with you. Here is Hal Linden.
Old coins, rare coins,
cheese and sausage, to please the finest princely palate.
Old coins, rare coins,
pipes, meerschaum pipes, steins old and new, beer tastes better in your own exclusive style.
Old coins, rare coins,
silks and satins, velvets and brocades, fine fabrics,
cheese and sausage,
pipes, meerschaum pipes,
fine fabrics. Old coins, rare coins, treasures of an ancient kingdom, numismatic wonders from days of old, curios of silver, rarities of gold.
My Rothschild, at your service. Look!
Look at this rare treasure. Older than Alexander the Great. And there's an ancient legend connected with this coin. Come, come closer. Long before Alexander was as great as he became, at the tender age of 6, he knew ambition and contentment seldom mix. So he wondered, is it better to pursue eternal fame or to spend his life in tasting simple joys? Should he lead a quiet life or instead should he organize an army and roam? Then he took a silver drachma and said, heads, I conquer the world. Tails, I stay home. Yes, my friends, at this critical moment, when the fate of the world hung in the balance, he tossed a coin, he tossed a coin, saying, coin, it's up to you, tell me what I ought to do. Yes, he tossed it, and he watched it as it spun. He tossed a coin, perhaps this very one, only $15.
Sorry, no.
Anyone? No. Well, take this one. Behold, Cleopatra, her portrait in gold, and with it, a story. When Julius Caesar invaded Egypt, Cleopatra pondered, how should she receive her Roman conqueror? Should she call him friend, welcome him with love, greet him with a warm Egyptian smile? Should she call him foe, try to end his life, send his body floating down the Nile? Cleopatra climbed a nearby dune, vainly seeking guidance from the moon. But no answer came, leaving her perplexed. Where was she to turn for guidance next? She tossed a coin.
She tossed a coin.
Saying, coin, it's up to you. Tell me what I ought to do.
Yes, she tossed it, and she watched it as it spun.
Tossed a coin, perhaps this very one, touched by Cleopatra herself.
I want it.
How much is it?
Only $10.
I'll take it.
Speaking of Caesar, here he is, on this silver denarius. And with it, it just so happens, is a legend. Picture yourselves in Imperial Rome. The Ides of March. Caesar expected at the Senate. In the corners, in the shadows, his adversaries lurk. In the folds of every toga, a deadly Roman dirk. Caesar's friends say, Caesar, the omens are berserk. Caesar's wife says, Julius, today stay home from work. To his wife and his friends, he is deaf. The omens and the signs, he is blind. Caesar knew what to do to help make up his mind. Huh?
He tossed a coin.
He tossed a coin.
Say, coin, it's up to you. Tell me what I ought to do. Yes, he tossed, yes, he tossed it. And he watched it as it spun.
He tossed a coin, perhaps this very one.
How much is it?
Only $20.
I don't know. That's a lot of money.
Tell you what you do. Toss a coin.
I'll take it.
He tossed
a coin.
He never speaks his passions, he never speaks his views. Whereas other men speak volumes, the man I love is mute. In truth, I can't recall being wooed with words at all, even now. He plays the violin, he tucks it right under his chin, and he bows, oh he bows, for he knows yes, he knows that it's high, 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 diddle, diddle, twixt my heart, Tom and his fiddle, my strings are unstrung. And I sigh, oh, I sigh. He draws near, very near. And it's high, 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 diddle, diddle. And goodbye to the fiddle. My strings are unstrung. High, 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 high. I am always undone.
That was a young girl in her 20s right out of Big Spring, Texas, Betty Buckley, as Martha Jefferson from 1776. She has graced our stages in so many great Broadway shows, but that was her first. This is Larry Mazlon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB, and today we're looking at what Nancy Walker called euphemistically in the beginning of our show, the first girl in the second row. These are Broadway debuts or small parts that great Broadway stars played at the beginning of their career trajectory. Well, there was no bigger fan than I, well, actually there probably are, of Madeline Kahn. But before she took over the world in those Mel Brooks musicals and on the 20th century on stage, she was in a very bizarre show called Two by Two, written by Richard Rodgers and Martin Charnin about Noah's Ark. And here she plays some, I don't know, cult fanatic of a pre-monotheistic world. Who knows? Anyway, you can't beat Madeline Kahn. Here she is.
Huzzah, huzzah, come and nibble on life. Huzzah.
her. She's talented. She's Madeline Kahn. Well, a couple seasons later, Over Here was a retro musical about life on the home front during World War II. I think it was the only original Broadway musical written by the Sherman Brothers, who wrote Mary Poppins. It starred the Andrew Sisters, or two out of three of them, and a young man named John Travolta stepped out of the chorus and made himself into an up-and-comer. Here is Dream Drummond from Over Here with Mr. Travolta himself.
I'm Dream Drummond. I'm another Krupa heading up a super band, and I'm the leader man. Say I'm Dream Drummond. Jumping in the spotlight, jiving nice and hot right now. We're dressed in drape-shape uniforms. We're blowing horns that shine. I'm hitting licks like no one's hit. The world is hearing me, cheering me on and on. Say I'm Dream Drumming. I'm another Krupa heading up a super band.
Stephen Sondheim and George Firth's Merrily We Roll Along in 1981 was poised to send a lot of newcomers into the world of Broadway stardom because it was all young people. Here is a number, I guess, also deleted from the original LP, I think, It's been so long now. But here is the cast of Merrily We Roll Along, and you can hear Jason Alexander, who went on to become George Costanza and so many other interesting roles, and also a great guy. So you'll hear him in the middle of It's a Hit as the producer Joe Josephson from Merrily We Roll Along.
Just proud, okay, wait, I'll tempt fate and I'll state it out loud. That unless I miss my guess is I can't stand it. Listen. Yes. That's the sound of a hit. It's a hit, gang. I think this is it. No more writing clever little shows for those basement saloons. No more proclamations from the pros that you can't hum the tunes.
No more sneaking at an intermission to the place you wish you could afford.
Or producers having you audition whenever they're bored.
We'll say right away as you play the first chord.
Boys, that's just great. But next time, don't be so clever.
It's a hit, you're a hit, you should quit.
No more coaching those sopranos with voices like bees.
No more secondhand pianos with six broken keys.
No more agents giving you opinions while they turn you over to their minions.
Just for these guarantees, we should please thank the Lord. It's a hit, it's a hit.
Well, your in-laws just spit after all that baloney they made you go through. All that muttering that you're a phony, cause what do you do? Well, their faces be stony when they see on their Sony someone handing the phony the Tony Award.
I would like to begin by thanking everyone who turned down everything I have written so I could win this.
All Nick folks, there's still the reviews left. Both the trim and the news left. Early, surly, not a good sign. Also, even if there's a chance, folks, let's not forget the advance, folks. Not a lot of cash, folks.
Also, even if it's a smash, folks, doesn't that mean we sell out?
I hope we sell out.
What I mean is sell out. Well, you know, success is like failure. It's how you perceive it. It's what you do with it, not how you achieve it. And I can't believe it's a hit.
Listen to that. We can listen to that. Tell me, is that a noise or is that a noise? That is the noise we've been waiting the whole of our lives to hear.
Listen to that.
Listen to that.
Buddy, is that a noise or is that a noise? Where's the machine? Gotta get it on tape for our wives to hear.
Listen to that. That's obscene.
Ever need improving, you can drop it any night for free.
But the thing that's positively moving,
you could have fooled me, is we're still good friends. Nothing can kill good friends where there's a will. Good friends don't need success to survive. And us good friends, what's that disguise? Good friends, we got a sharp eye, genuine, lovely, marvelous.
Broadway, my home is sensational. Boston is the number one. Dance away.
Well, one performer who was a hit right out of the box in the 1994 revival of Carousel at Lincoln Center was a woman billed at the time as Audra Ann McDonald. She lost the Ann along the way, but Broadway got a huge star in her debut as Carrie Pipperidge from Carousel.
Julie. Julie. Do you like him?
I don't know.
Did you like it when he talked to you today? When he put you on the carousel that way? Did you like that?
I'd rather not say.
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. You are quieter and deeper than a well. And you never tell me nothing.
There's nothing that I care to choose to tell.
You've been acting most peculiar. Every morning you're awake ahead of me. Always sitting by the window.
I like to watch the river meet the sea.
When we work in the mill, weaving at the loom, you gaze absent-minded at the roof. And half the time your shuttle gets twisted in the thread till you can't tell the wart from the hoof.
Tain't so.
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. You won't ever tell a body what you think. You're as tight-lipped as an oyster and as silent as an old Sahara spink. Julie, I've been busting to tell you something lately.
You have?
Reason I didn't care to tell you before is because you didn't have a fella of your own. But now that you got one, I can tell you about mine.
I'm glad you got a fella, Carrie.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment you've been waiting for. The moment when a man and a woman make that sacred vow to be faithful forever. And to start off this evening's ceremony on a high note, let's hear from a new discovery, Frelinger's little taffy Miss Precious McGuire.
To tell you what bliss is, one word is
I do.
I do.
Pronounce you man and wife.
So on the day he gives you the ring, if I were you, I'd sing, sing, sing.
Smile, kids! Folks, this wedding has been sponsored by Freilinger's.
Happy kitchen by the shore.
Well, if you have any interest in Broadway at all, you know who that is. That's Christian Chenoweth in a small part in a Kandra and Ebb show called Steel Pier. It's what made people raise their eyebrows and say, she might be kind of special. Thanks to my good pal Andy Zerman for sending me that way to add her to the show. The Mystery of Edwin Drood starred Betty Buckley, who we heard a little earlier, in a small part in 1776. Here are two wonderful people in this little short quartet, Judy Kuhn and Donna Murphy, who's getting all sorts of news these days, taking over on certain performances for Bette Midler, singing the Moonfall Quartet from The Mystery of Edwin Drood. Murphy buried there in the quartet of Moonfall from The Mystery of Edwin Drood. Well, today we looked at that first girl in the second row, people who got their starts in small parts in Broadway shows and gradually worked their way up to become major stars of Broadway and film and television and so on and so forth. And it's always exciting when you can, like, spot somebody who you think is a comer. And I was very lucky about, I think it's like 4 years now, something insane like that. I had done hosted a concert at Merkin Concert Hall in New York City, and one of the cast members was this singer named Betsy Wolfe, a wonderful performer who sang Hammerstein and Harburg, Hart, you name it, and I thought she was very special. And I said to her, I think you're the real deal. And I saw her in Waitress playing the lead role a couple of weeks ago. She is the real deal. Go and see Betsy Wolfe in this production if you haven't already. And even though she wasn't the first girl in the second row in the revival of Mystery of Edwin Drood, let's sort of jump off that show and hear Betsy Wolfe sing Moonfall from the most recent production of that, reminding us that you can always spot someone with talent and you wish them well. And I wish all of you well. Have a good time.
Between the very dead of night and day, upon a steely sheet of light,
night reveals the morn. Time holds its breath while it conceals the dawn. And in the moonfall, oh, sound is frozen still, yet pressed against me, your skin will warm the chill of moonfall. I feel its fingers, lingers the veil of nightshade. I'm made from stars that all too soon fall. Moonfall that pours from you. Betwixt our hearts, let nothing intervene. Between our eyes, the only sight I've seen is lustrous moonfall as it blinds my view. So that soon
where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.